Amen. Amen. The God that we serve is a God of power. He's a God of love. He's a God of plan. The earth has not been left to float in a jubbly, just bungled mess. Because when that happened, the power of God, the Spirit of God, hovered over the surface of the deep. God has a plan in restoring, in putting things right. Amen.
Amen.
And we came to the place of insight where the ongoing infusion of the Holy Spirit is the power to overcome sin, is the power to overcome Satan's influences, the ongoing, not having been filled yesterday, having been filled a year ago, a week ago, the ongoing infusion of the Holy Spirit is the antidote against sin, is the antidote against evil spirits. The ongoing infusion. Amen. So I believe that God has something powerful for us today. And that as we continue to be renewed in our minds, we shall be clothed with a new humanity. Actually, because sometimes I say a lot of things, I think I must give support. Because somebody may be listening by tape. Most of you have heard these things and you know them. But the scripture says in Ephesians 4 from 21, that if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this new man, this new anthropos, the new humanity is created katathion, is created literally like God. It's created to fash, to act like God, to look like God in true holiness and true righteousness. Amen. That is righteousness that is of the order of God, true, real righteousness. Praise the Lord. True righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 28. We want to see the authority that we have been given as believers, the commission that we have been given as believers, and the new realm that we have been called to. We need ongoing revelation Just as we talked about the ongoing infusion of the Holy Spirit, we are not satisfied with yesterday's insight. And that is why gathering together is so important and so powerful, because when we gather together, we praise the Lord. There's joyful praise, as was going on this morning. Joyful. And the word of God becomes fresh. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28. We read the words of Jesus. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. This is after his resurrection. Saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power. That is all authority, all rule. In heaven and earth has been given unto me. And that should be good news. Amen. All power, all authority has been given unto me. All power in heaven, all power on earth, all power in heaven, all power on earth has been given unto me. But he didn't stop there. Go ye therefore. Oh my God. The first part was good enough. Go ye then, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, unto the end of the age. Go ye therefore. Go predicated on the authority that I've received. Amen. Go ye therefore. Friday, I was mentioning the fact that God is commissioning us and asking us afresh to go forth. I don't know how many heard it. And he's saying that there's a tidal wave of his power awaiting. Go forth. There are wonderful things that God is going to do. How many believe that God is a God of plan? He's a God of design. He's a God of objectivity. God has a design for our lives. He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for this generation. He has a plan for this city. He has a plan for this assembly. And occasionally, you know, God gives us a glimpse. And it's difficult to speak about the plan when we are nowhere close to God's objective. He's a God of objectivity. He has an objective. He has a plan. Amen. And his plan is always glorious. He's planned these things according to his good pleasure, the good pleasure of his will. It is a secret. The plan is secure. The plan cannot be invaded by the enemy's power. Amen. we learn that he planned for the maturity of the times, the maturity of the age. He planned for these times. God is saying, go forth in my name. Go forth in the authority that I've given to you. Praise the Lord. He has a plan for each one of us. This is not a plan. This is not an individualized plan. This is a plan for the body. It's a plan for the assembly. It's a plan that as we move forth in togetherness, in understanding, God's glory will be revealed. Amen. Let's get back to what we have been talking about in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And see the authority. God is saying that we should go forth, but he has given us authority. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. We have been dealing with this prayer that Paul prayed in Colossians chapter 1. But I want each one to know that there is a certainty for your life in God. It's not some flimsy thing, that planless thing without direction. There's a certainty of God's plan for your life. A plan that will not fail as long as you're able to enter into that plan. Receive that plan. Walk in that plan. You will walk in a rhythm of miracles, authority, power, and be used by God. You will walk in the joy of the Lord. You will walk experiencing fame. You will walk experiencing prosperity. Amen. Paul prayed, I read from verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So the power of God strengthens us and gives to us the character of Christ. The power of God gives us patience. It gives us joyfulness. Amen. It gives us long-suffering. Many times, believers try to express the character of God or the character of Christ in their own strength. But that is not very different from what other religions do. It may shock many Christians. It is not even very different from the Old Testament. If all that we can do is, okay, be humble, so I try to be humble. Be good, so I try to be good. But that is not a source of our goodness. The source of our character is divine power. It comes from him alone. It is something that is totally other. It is not of this world. And the glory of God begins to reflect out of our lives. It's not something that we can, if we can do it in our strength, then other people can do it in their strength. And sometimes they look at believers and they wonder, What are they talking about? Because they're doing it and they think they can do it better. But I have good news for you. The character of God is going to show forth in power. The gifts of the Spirit are going to show forth in power through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we enter into a sphere of revelation and insight today. So, Father, I pray, help me and help everyone here in the name of Jesus. With joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. So we shall be focusing maybe hopefully on the last three verses today. Giving thanks. Joyful thanksgiving. Amen. Because this really is one sentence. This prayer all the way up to, it's really one sentence. There's a way in which they are linked. Amen. So, the prayer for knowledge and for wisdom and for conduct that is beneficial to others and for fruitfulness and for patient fortitude, all these things, you know, patient fortitude in the time of testing and so on, all these things are linked to our joyful thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. They are linked to our joyful thanksgiving. The implication is that as we give thanks, these things become real over and over again. These graces are sustained by joyful thanksgiving. Because these graces are in a realm where the angels continue to rejoice. The angels continue to praise. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has brought us into a whole new dimension. So we cannot be in a dimension where we are not giving thanks, where everything is so low, and we are looking at the circumstances. But ongoing thanksgiving with joy. Amen. So that the graces are sustained by this attitude of thanksgiving. Amen. So we are giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. That is, the Father has qualified us. The Father has fitted us. When you go into space, you must wear a spacesuit. When you have to live in a particular existence, you must be qualified. You must be prepared. The Father has prepared us for a heavenly existence. He has qualified us. He has prepared us. Amen. He has prepared us. He has qualified us for a heavenly existence. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The word saints is usually used for angels or believers. So the debate here, there are two schools of thought that is speaking about the saints, and so it's speaking about the inheritance in the age to come. That's all true. But the word saints, in fact, the scripture is very close to this. In other scriptures, the Qumran community, just like this. But they focus on angels. The realm of the age to come is equivalent to the realm of heaven. Amen. So God has fitted us. God has qualified us to be partakers of a totally new realm. Amen. An inheritance. To be partakers of an inheritance of the saints in light. The light, of course, the light of heaven. God's being beams with light and pervades the realm of heaven. And we have been qualified. In the Old Testament, they had, God promised them an inheritance. The land flowing with milk and honey. That was their inheritance. But we have an inheritance of a totally different order, of a new dimension, of another plane, an inheritance that abides forever. Amen. I mean, the land flowing with milk and honey was good enough. We have a land flowing with every good thing, every spiritual blessing, every great thing that comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. We have been qualified to be partakers. Praise the Lord. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and made us fit to share in the portion which is the inheritance of the saints. God's people. Angels in the realm of light. Praise the Lord. God has fitted us. We need to walk in this, the revelation. It's one thing hearing it one time and rejoicing, but we need to refresh ourselves in the revelation that we are in this world, but we are not of it. We are in this world, but we are not of it. We are in a realm where God has not planned any defeats for us. As we understand this, we will walk in a whole new realm of victory. Amen. Amen. Begin to believe it and not your circumstances. Begin to believe it. Because of this, verse 13, the Father, so who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The Father has delivered us and drawn us unto himself. One of my favorite scriptures. Out of the control, out of the dominion, the kingdom of darkness. First, let's look at the word delivered. The Father has delivered us. Amen. He has delivered us from the authority. You see, Jesus came and said, all authority has been given unto me. Praise the Lord. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness. It's not that the darkness is not present, but Satan's license has been revoked. Concerning as Satan's authority has been nullified. And so we have the authority to resist him. Now, he's going to come with lies. Because he tries it on this one. He tries it on that one. He tries it on a child of God. And if you know your authority, you say no. Amen. So we can resist that authority. Because we have been delivered from his tyranny. We have been delivered from the tyrannical forces of Satan. Everybody say, I have been delivered. Now, it does not mean that you will not be attacked. His license has been revoked, but he's a liar. He has no license. He's illegitimate. The Father has delivered and drawn us unto himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. The executive authority of Satan has been broken. Amen. Amen. Because God has transported us. He has delivered us. Amen. Now, this deliverance is like an exodus, because Jesus died to perform an exodus. On the Mount of Transfiguration, that was what they were discussing, that Jesus had come to perform an exodus. Amen. But this exodus was from the realm of the dead. The realm of darkness. They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. In Christ, the new exodus is being enacted right now. If we can understand it, no power can stand against you. Amen. I said no power can stand against you. I said no power. No power. No power. No power. The devil is a liar. And we must walk in the revelation that no power can stand against us. It comes by revelation. Not by feeling. I said, no power. No power. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. We're dealing with the deliverance. Whoa. Jesus. We must... It's the more we read the scriptures, the more hopefully we understand. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I'll rid you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. The power of his redemption, the power of his deliverance. And I'll take you to me for a people, and I'll be to you a God, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Amen. And ye shall know. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God that bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Amen. God has not planned for us to be under burdens. He has planned for us to come out from under the burdens. Our minds must be renewed. The more our minds are renewed to the truth, the more we walk in the plan of God. So we must continue to resist the enemy's power. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, we read about a similar deliverance. Judges chapter 6. But that chapter is so powerful, important. Judges chapter 6. Where God, from verse 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, verse 8, are we in Judges chapter 6? Verse 8, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. Verse 9, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Deliverance. Somebody say deliverance. It's a powerful snatching out of the authority of an enemy. God delivered Israel from the authority of Egypt. And out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. The deliverance is to grant us an inheritance. The deliverance is not to leave us in some gray area, but to grant us an inheritance. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. If you can adjust the mic as it was before, don't clip anything. I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not observed my voice. My goodness. Fear not. Somebody say, fear not. Fear not. As long as we fear Satan, we give opportunity for him to act. Somebody say, fear not. God is saying, I wrought a powerful deliverance. And I placed you in the land of the Amorites. And I said, do not fear their gods. Do not fear their gods. Do not fear the lies of Satan. Do not fear their gods. But they did not obey. The Midianites had come in and destroyed everything. In fact, if we go back, and I didn't want to spend time to do that, but Verse 1 says, and the children of Israel did even in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them out into the hand of them of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are of the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou camped unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers, and for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Fear not. Because of their fear, it opened the room to disobedience. They would rather obey the voice of the enemy rather than the voice of God. That is how sometimes the church loses its authority, because it fears Satan's power. But the Lord is restoring power to us today. He is restoring authority. Amen. We are not to fear. So if we come back, verse 11 says, so the angel of the Lord, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, the Abiezrite, and his son. Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Because the Midianites see the wheat, they'll lose it. Fear of Satan's power. The fear of negative news from the doctors because Satan has inflicted some infirmity. The fear of news all around the world of some, I don't know what is floating around, whatever it is. And it brings fear into people's hearts. God says, fear not. God says, fear not. We must understand that we live in a whole new realm, and we have been delivered from the authority of darkness. God says, I delivered you. When you fear, you give yourself to the enemy. I have delivered you. The Father has delivered us. Amen. Amen. Fear not. As you go to the college, you enter into a whole new arena. Fear not. You go in the power and the authority of the name that is above every name. Fear not. If you know the name in which you live, you have no fear. You don't fear at every news on the internet, on Facebook, and everything that is floating around. They said, have you heard what they said? So what? People were afraid during Y2K. I don't know where people stood. And people prepared. And so they asked, Pastor Oliver, you've not said anything about Y2K. And they were storing food and they were doing. I said, because we'll be living the same way as we are living. Just cross over. they looked at me because everybody was talking about it. Scientists and everybody. And preachers. Big preachers are talking about it. How dare you say that there'll be no change? There will be no change. Fear not. It's important to live in the revelation of the Word of God. And people were. I said, well, if you like, can store some bottles of water. Should there be artificial shortage? But I foresee no shortage. Fear not. Amen. Don't let the enemy trick you. Yes, you just heard a message that you should not fear. And the enemy comes with something. They meet that very moment. Satan is a liar. You've got to understand his characteristics. He is a liar. He lies. Occasionally has access into the circumstances and says, okay, check this out, Joseph. You're supposed to be a prime minister. Where are you now? You are in the pit. What have become of your dreams? Fear not. What have become of your vision? What have become of the prophetic word that God has given to you? Abraham, God has promised you a son. Now you're old. Sarah is so old, it's embarrassing. What have become of the word that God spoke to you? You better devise another plan and not God's plan. Whose report will you believe? Who are you going to believe? If you believe the Lord, you'll walk in victory. If you will believe the Lord, if you will believe the Lord, if you will believe that he has given you authority, that he has given you power, you will walk in victory. Amen. You see, we must be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God is able to deliver us from this fire. If for some reason he doesn't, it's not because of a lack of ability. It means something greater is about to happen. But he's able. I said he's able. That is faith. I said he's able. Not like the spies who saw the giants and they were like grasshoppers in their sight. But two of them said, God is able. We need to say that continually, that God is able. God is able. Dr. What are you going to do about this critical situation? God is able. Oh, you don't know how many times people have criticized me. You didn't plan. You know what? I had a plan. Somebody said, I had a plan A and a plan B and a plan C. And you say you are a pastor. You didn't plan. What was my response? I didn't say a word. Not a word. But as time rolled on, God proved whose plan worked. Whether his plan or the plan A. The plan A did not work. The plan B didn't work. The plan C didn't work. The one without a plan and said, oh God. Everybody saw God pick him up from one place to another, until the dean of the school said, oh my God. Until my mate said, God is with you. There's something about you. It is believing God. I said it's believing God. Amen. God bless. We need to believe God. Amen. And so, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon. And when he came, the angel said, "The Lord is with thee. Thou art, or the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Did not Jesus bring us up from the realm of the dead? Did not Jesus bring us from the realm of darkness? Did not Jesus bring us out? Where are the miracles?" We need to ask ourselves. I said, where are the miracles? It's a legitimate question. Where are the miracles? Because if God is with us, we need to walk in a realm of miracles. Listen to this. This is the key. "And the Lord looked upon him." You know, because he thought, well, the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. "And the Lord looked upon him," verse 14, "and said, go." The Lord looked upon him and said what? Go. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." The Lord looked unto him and said, "Go therefore in my name. All authority has been given to me. Go. Go in this thy might, and the Lord shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" Have I not sent thee? God has sent. Go. The deliverance is so that we will go in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. There is authority. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll pick it up later. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prays that we should have light, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. I pray that we have revelation, we have understanding. Because when the eyes of our hearts are flooded with light, we will know the exceeding greatness of his power. We will know the realm of power. Everybody say, the realm of power. The realm of power. We will know it when our eyes are open. We will know it. Elijah's eyes were open, and he had no fear about the armies that were attacking him. So Paul prays that the light of heaven, remember that our inheritance has to do with the saints in light. We are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The eyes of our understanding should be flooded with light. So we will know that realm of power. Amen. I'll read from verse 19. So you will know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing power The immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing power the surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. When we believe, the power of God, the unlimited power of God, is set in motion. The power of God is at work for those of us who believe. Amen. Amen. When we believe the truth, the Spirit of God works on our behalf. There are two things that are working. In climbing the mountain of God, our side is faith. And then there's God's side. When we believe, the Spirit of God is working on our behalf. As Abraham was climbing the mountain, God was working on the other side. Whilst you are believing, God is working. Whilst you are believing, the Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is working. And nothing shall be impossible with you. I said nothing. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to those who believe. To those who believe. To those who believe. With God, all things are possible. But when we believe, he acts on our behalf. All things are possible to those who believe. Lord, help us to believe. To believe. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Amen. Not those who believed. Those who believe. I believed yesterday. I must believe today. I'll keep on believing. Amen. Amen. So this is it. We believe in his unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power, which is at work in and for us. Now, maybe we don't know what that power looks like. So, is it that power as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places? The power of God is at work for us when we believe is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, not just that, but the same power that set him up, because gravity lost its control and they could see him go, and he entered into the realm of glory, and he, oh my God, what he himself had desired, and that he received the Holy Ghost and poured the Holy Ghost upon us. He received wisdom. He received strength. He received power for himself. He received it. Acts 2:33, Peter had to explain what they experienced. That what they were seeing, they were hearing, was a result of Jesus having received something in the heavenly realms. And he's now pouring it into the earth realm. He received the Holy Ghost. And he has shed forth this which ye see and hear. He poured something upon them. In the book of Revelation, we read that he received wisdom. He received power. He received authority. He received strength. He received honor. He received it for us. Amen. Authority. What God exerted, oh my Jesus, the power which he exerted, the unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power which he exerted in Christ. Something happened. I don't know why God did it that way, but it was too much. Because from that moment that he exerted, that power has never stopped peeling in strength. It's rolling. It's rolling. It's He exerted it in Christ. No power can stand against the people of God. I said he exerted the power of God in Christ. You better rejoice. No power. When America released a bomb against Japan, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki, whatever, all those places. The Hiroshima bomb, its effect didn't last, was not for a second or for a day. It continued. That's just a bomb. Now, we are talking about a divine bomb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Its power, its effect is ongoing. And today we are recipients of it. And Jesus is saying, just particularly, it's just flowing out of me right now. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. That's what he meant by all authority is given unto me. And all authorities, not only in the earth, in heaven, but in the earth. So when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, far above all rule and authority and dominion, and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in the world, but also in the age and in the world to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He gave all this authority. He gave to the church. To the church. To his body. It's been given to the church. The glory of God has been given to us. Go ye therefore. Because every knee must bow. Satan's, let's look at the last scripture in the book of Philippians. They ruled using the name of Jesus. Remember that Jesus has said that we should be baptized in his name. Amen. So as we are moving in his name. When David faced Goliath, he faced Goliath in the name of the Lord. Because Goliath came, oh my God, so tall, all Israel quaking. Saul, who was taller than all, you know, from shoulder upwards, he was not there. David came and said, "What's up?" Saul said, "Okay, I don't mind giving you my armor. The armor of the king is the best, you know, you can." David tries, this will, you know what, this is going to limit me. Because I'm clothed. And this is limiting me. It doesn't matter what I really use. It's not the what I'm going to use. It's the one who is with me. So you come with me with all these things, with implements, with sticks and whatever. But I come to you with something that you can't see. I come in the name of the God of the armies whom you have taunted. You uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you? You have no covenant with God." And he began to prophesy, "I'll take off your head." David must be crazy. What are you talking about? This is a giant. He's shielded. He's fully covered. Look, the guy was clad. It was impossible. Goliath had a shield. How could David? I mean, what do you mean you're going to take off his head? But David said, "I will take off your head." There's the power with which we should go and face Satan. Everybody say, "I will take off your head. I will take off your head." Don't be afraid of Satan. When he sees you, must turn, he must pass another way. When he sees you coming, he must move. Hallelujah. Because we are called to drive him out. How can you be afraid of him if you're going to drive him out? To drive him out of cities. To drive him out of nations. Drive him out. Let's look at our last scripture in Philippians chapter 2. It is the fear and the thinking that it's our own strength. No. It's not our strength. It's not our strength. It's not our strength. I mean, we don't have him. It's not our strength. It's his strength. It's his power. It's his authority. He has given it to us. He's not saying, I'll give it to you maybe next week. He has given it to us. Go and use it. The devil is a liar. And he makes us fearful. Oh, my God. In Philippians chapter 2, when Jesus humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." God hath highly exalted him. God hath highly exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. He has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven they should bow, of things in earth they should bow, of things under the earth they should bow. Everything in heaven bows to the name. Everything in the earth realm, infirmities, sicknesses, hurricanes, bad weather conditions, they bow to the name. There is a name that is above every name. And Jesus gave us that name. He has given us the use of that name. He said, yes, Father, you've given me that name, but my people would need that name. He has given us that name. In the early church, they used that name. Peter will appear and say, Jesus heals you. At the Temple of Beautiful, they healed the crippled man. And they were all, they rushed as if they were gods. People were looking at them. Said, why look you on us as if we by our own power have done these things? But Jesus Christ, who was crucified and raised from the dead, it is by him and by faith, through him, faith in his name. Faith in his name has this miracle occurred. Faith in his name. Because there's no name given among men whereby men may be saved. Amen. There is no name given among men whereby men, whereby human beings may be delivered from financial crisis. Whereby human beings may be delivered from sicknesses. Whereby human beings may be delivered from danger. Whereby human beings may be delivered from trouble. We limit the word saved to the day we come and, oh Lord, I receive you as Christ my Savior, and as part of it, I'm saved. What took place when Peter prayed for them was healing. It was part of salvation. Salvation is a broader term. In those days, they used it for deliverance from the enemy's power. Deliverance from the binding power of Satan. Deliverance from Satan's power. The name of Jesus has been given to us. It's above every name. It's above Satan's title. It's above everything. Now, we've talked about heaven, earth. What about under the earth? Satan thought we had forgotten about that. And the first person that we mention under the earth is Satan. The name is above Satan's authority. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. I said amen. 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 We rejoice because we have the name. We rejoice because we have the name. The name that is above every name. The name of authority. The name of power. The name that brings deliverance. The name that brings healing. The name that brings joy. The name that ushers us into the plan of God. Amen. The name that is above every name. God has given us authority. Authority. Go in this name. Amen. How can we remain the same when we have the name?